said and the things that are being said now are still applying. Are still applying to today. Christy, I'm going to read this up to the point in the message from verse 1. Matthew 5. Verse 1. When Jesus saw the ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. That's where we started. What's so amazing about Christ, people try to put him in this box and all this stuff, that he's not afraid to climb a hill with you. He's not afraid to fight. He's not afraid to go and get dirty and get down in wherever you are. He's not afraid of it. He'll be down there in the valley. He'll be up in the mountain. You'll find him. Arriving at the quiet place, he sat down and taught the climbing companions. Anybody else feeling like they're climbing? We're climbing, guys. And here's the sad part. It said that the committed climbed. And I know we've been talking about this. I just want to recap a little bit. But there was a lot of people that did not. And because of that, they didn't hear the mysteries of who he is and the mysteries of the kingdom of God because they did not choose to climb. And guess what they wanted when it was all said and done? Oh, what happened? What'd he say? Yeah. Oh, what happened? And you can try to explain it, and it's just one of those things. You just had to be there. Like last Sunday, what happened? I can't explain what happened. You should have just been here. But you can watch it, but sometimes the craziest parts happen when the camera turns off. God wrecks the place. But the whole atmosphere was just this heaviness, and I feel like this is where we are. When you get to a place where you're elevated, and you feel like, you know, God, what do you got to say today? And he starts to speak, and he gives these beatitudes. And I just want you to know that the Word of God is still true. The Word of God, and this is ancient history that is relevant right now. It doesn't go void. It transcends anything and everything. He's talking to these people on this mountainside. There is chaos. I want to remind you real quick, there was chaos. There was social distancing. Nobody wanted to be around anybody that had leprosy. There was social distancing from the Roman Empire, from these people who were oppressing Israel. There was confusion in the government. There was stuff going on. Doesn't it sound familiar right now? You know what I mean? Like there was stuff going on. And Jesus climbs up and has this conversation. And I'm telling you right now, listen, we don't rehearse this stuff. Last year, at the end of the year, God told us, and it was a year in advance, to build some mountains. So they put a tarp up here and took like 3 months and built these mountains. And God told me that this year, 2020, is going to be a year of faith. Last year, we got to live by faith, guys. We have nothing else to offer. That he was going to provide and give provision. And we have to protect the vision. He's been providing. And how vital is it right now that we have to protect the vision? Because when things shut down and things happen in the world and all the stuff going on and all next week, everything, you got to put a mask on, everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, how much do we have to protect what God has said? How much do we have to, because our mind could go, and it says in the Word that to take every thought captive, lock it up. Yeah. Then he says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of his rule. There's more of God in his rule. Then he says, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then you can be embraced by the one most dear to you. And I'm telling you, sometimes we think of the mourning of being lost, like we said last week. There's more to it than just a physical death. Don't get me wrong. He loves and he comforts those who mourn. That's what he does. That's who he is. But also that mourning of, we say we're a Christian and we run this race and then we get lazy and we check that we're a Christian, but our actions and our people at work don't realize we're a Christian because we talk like they talk and we do the things they do, but we say we're a Christian. There comes a point where there's a mourning inside of your soul that says, I need you, Jesus. Forgive me, God. I've not lived the way I should have. And then your soul cries out and there's a mourning, and that's when he comforts you. We find Peter doing the same thing when he runs back and gets back in the boat after Jesus has died, and he has this moment because he denied him three times and a rooster crowed and all this stuff. So all he knew is, go back to the way I used to do things. And Christ never desired for you to go back. When you say you're a Christian, you move forward and only forward. Why do we go back? Why do we say, oh, I'm just so tempted. Oh, my mouth's so tempted. Oh, my hands are so tempted. Oh, my flesh. We have to get these things in order, or we're going to keep running this rat race over and over in a labyrinth that will never end. But here's what's crazy about God. He will get inside your labyrinth. He'll climb up in your little cave. He will go to the edge of the water and draw you back to him. God. And then here we are in this next one. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Let me read it in the New King James. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is humility. To be meek is to be kind and gentle, submissive, compliant, tame, humbly patient. Has anybody this week been tested with their meekness? They got one job at McDonald's, I'm just saying. A straw. Just hold the pickles, please. Has anybody been tested with their meekness, being humble? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God sees every part of our hearts. And his truth serves as a guide point to ensure that we are living the way he has called us to live. See, what's crazy is during Jesus' day on earth, and even today, prideful achievements and self-motivations are encouraged by the world.
Yeah, you're right.
Prideful achievements and self-motivations are encouraged by the world. You can be blessed if you're a meek person. What it means is you're no longer inflated with pride. Because if you're not humble, you're a prideful person. Because there's always something that's an opposite to what God wants you to be. And here's the biggest thing as we get into this, that Jesus came to show us the way. He's the great example of the way. He even says it, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He's the greatest example of how to do this. His love and compassion, that when you looked into his eyes, would just seep of love and hope and humility and being humble. The meekness oozed out of Christ. And he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. And so Christ is our example. And I'm going to read Matthew 11, 28. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Are you tired? Do you have dry eyes? That's what I feel like saying for that. Are you tired? Yes, you need Orbit gum. Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. What an example for us to live by. What a humble man. And that's our example. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
I love that you put that scripture, because I had no idea you were going to use that scripture. And I had highlighted Matthew 11:29 in the King James Version. And what's so crazy about it is when you talk about meekness, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But if you read in Matthew 11:29 in the King James Version, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And I think what sticks out to me, one of the biggest things about meekness that stuck out to me is, yes, it's gentleness, and yes, it's humility. But one of the biggest things, there were two words that stuck out, is self-control and submissiveness. But another thing in the definition of meekness is a teachable spirit. And in order to be a disciple of Christ, you have to be willing to learn from the master. You have to be willing to be teachable. And a lot of times, meekness is compared to weakness. And that you're weak, you don't have the ability, that you're, you know,
you're soft.
You're soft and timid and hold back. Yeah. But what's powerful to me is that meekness represents power under control. Meekness represents power under control. It's the ability to know that you have maybe the ability to do something, but you can learn from somebody else at that moment, or you can let somebody else lead. It's the ability to know that you don't have it all together. If meekness is the opposite of pride, then what happens is you aren't the one to say, well, I've got this. I know what I'm doing. You're willing to look at somebody and say, you know, I know this way, but maybe you know that way. And I'm willing to be teachable. And I think what was powerful about this is that if we cannot be teachable by Jesus Christ, one of our attitudes, if you don't have a teachable spirit, that's a problem. Because you're going to miss out. You won't learn anything. You think you're better than everybody. You've got it all together. And you're going to end up lonely. And you're going to end up... And what's powerful is if you look at it, it says, for they shall inherit the earth. And I thought about that, about being meek. And when you're teachable and you lay your pride down, when you literally do that, you begin to inherit many things in your life, whether it's friends and family and close relationships and things that go on. Because I don't believe God just wants us to have good things once we get in heaven. I think he desires and wants us to have good things while we live here in this earth. And in order to do that, we have to be willing to lay our pride aside and be teachable and be willing to be submissive under his presence and who he is. And when we aren't able to do that, when you don't listen, I think this last week I have said more than any, you're not listening. You're not listening. or they're not listening, or just simplicity of, like you said, they have one job, you know, at certain places. But how many times have you been through places and you've realized people just really aren't listening anymore? That their ears are so full of themselves because they're so used to doing it their way and their own way and going their own thing, that we aren't listening anymore to what people are needing or wanting or desiring or having to have. And that's what meekness does. Meekness becomes gentle. It becomes willing to listen and be submissive and teachable to the things that are going on, and willing to allow God to come in. And I think what's crazy is, as I begin to think about it, a meek person doesn't have to force anything to happen. Because pride will force itself upon others. Pride will force its will and its way. Pride will control situations. But meekness isn't forced. It doesn't strive. It thrives. Being a meek person, when you're meek and you're able to be gentle and separated and know that you can just kind of lean back and allow God to do what he needs to in your life and that he has the control, what happens is you become self-controlled. Because you're either going to be controlled by self or you're going to be self-controlled. You're either going to allow self to control you, your actions, your thoughts, your desires, the things that you want to do, and you're going to end up getting in the way of everything else, or you're going to have self-control and be able to have that meekness, which is that power under control. And I thought about, we started watching the movie, The Avengers. We've been watching the Avengers series. And I thought about Captain America, one of our favorite movies that we've been watching. For those of you who don't know, just follow along with me just for a second. Captain America, Steve Rogers, was a guy who was like the most scrawniest guy, and literally he was weakness at that point. But he had a tender, meek spirit. And I'm going somewhere with this, because what was powerful in it was when he asked, "Why did you choose me?" And he said, "Because a man who knows power and has no respect for power will abuse power. But a man who knows weakness but yet understands power will respect the power that he's given and do it in the right way and use it for the right authority." And it's the same as we as Christians. Just because you have the power of Jesus Christ living in you does not mean that you are right about everything that you are going through, and you know exactly how to do it, and that your walk needs to be everybody else's walk, and your talk needs to be everybody else's talk, and the things that you do. You can't abuse the power and the authority that God's given you in your life to live under. You use it in meekness and gentleness and kindness, and use that towards people to help allow God to be seen through you more than self.
I wrote this down in that part, is the meek are the people who wait on the Lord instead of running towards the other solutions. Good. We run straight to the Father. When you're meek and you're humble, you look at life different. And guys, we've done that. We've been around people like that. And maybe you struggle with that, where you feel like you have to get it in, and you try to say something. You know, sometimes the best thing to do is just listen. And so you can be humble, and you can listen and take heed and listen. I'll say it like this. It goes both ways. You know, listening to people that are older than you and get some wisdom, but listen, older seasoned people, listen to the young. Because you can get some wisdom too. Because God will use anybody. Anybody and everybody. So we have to listen. And I love this part where it says, "Blessed is the meek, for they will inherit the earth." When you're thinking about an inheritance, you think about like somebody died, and they get this inheritance. You know, they're better off because, you know, somebody has died, and they inherit what was left. Well, what's crazy about this is that Christ did die. But what's different about his death is that he rose from the dead, and he's alive and well, and he likes to see that you get inheritance while he's still living. And so you shall inherit the earth. And when you're inheriting the earth, what happens in Genesis is that God has a walk with Adam and tells him the things of this earth, that you have authority over the earth and to speak and let it be. And so when you humble yourself, it takes it back to what God already intended back in Genesis. that you have the authority, but we just don't use the authority he gives us sometimes. So we can inherit the earth, that we can speak to those things that are not. You see what I'm saying? We don't realize as Christians, we have the authority. There is an inheritance that God wants to give you. He's created all of this. And he says, listen, your inheritance is this earth. Multiply it. Share the gospel. Let my name go past just this building to your neighbors. Speak life to things. God gave us this. And sometimes we just don't realize that we have the authority. I mean, what's crazy is he creates all this stuff and tells Adam, I need you to start naming this and I need you to start putting this in order. And what I love in the end, before he names everything, and it's so powerful who God is, that the only thing he didn't speak into existence was us. He got down and molded us. He dug in. God's not afraid to get dirty in your mess. When you're even at the lowest point, he's not afraid to dig in. And he breathed life into us. That's the only thing he created with his bare hands, was us. And then he picks us up and he says, listen, you have the authority. You're a meek person. And when you're humble, you can inherit the earth. You can inherit. But what happens when, and we've seen this, when you see it on movies and you really see it in life, when somebody dies and people get an inheritance and you see pride pop up. And watch what happens with the inheritance. You can't inherit it right because it gets wasted. There's self-ambition and pride will set in and destroy everything that was meant to be inherited the right way. The bottom line with this whole thing today is being humble. Blessed are the humble, for they shall inherit the earth.
I wrote down, to be meek is not much of an attitude toward people, but a disposition before God. To be meek, it's not about your attitude toward somebody. It's a disposition before God. This is a humbleness before God. Not a fake meekness. Okay, I'm good with you. This is not about, you know, this attitude I have toward you. It's a disposition of humility before God. And then that comes out towards you. Funny that you talked about power, and God really spoke to me about a wild stallion. I want to read this real quick. Like a wild stallion, don't want to be broke or tamed by anyone. They buck and go wild. We've ever done that? Have we ever bucked and went wild? A stallion wants to be wild, and it wants to run free and have its own will to do anything it needs to do because it never wants to be broken. And we've seen people that are out, you know, we used to do it. I mean, years ago, my brother and sister were in a gospel group, and they would come to my house and they said, Dawn Ann, what are you doing? And I was bucking and I was wild. Crystal, you ever heard that? I love you, Crystal. She's still buck wild. But what I'm saying is they came to my door and they knocked on my door and they said, come on. You're going to lose your soul. I said, I'll be all right. And I'd be buck wild like a stallion. Listen to this. When training to break a stallion, there's a fine line in bringing that powerful animal under submission, which you want. Not breaking its spirit. And we've seen in many churches that pastors break people's spirit. I'm going to go somewhere real quick. Or people try to break somebody's spirit. Like they try to have them under their control, when they don't even have a choice anymore. So somebody else makes a choice for them. Then that they're not the Savior. God's the Savior. Stallions have great gifts and qualities. They have energy and strength and intelligence and intensity. Stallions have intensity. They have intelligence. But if it's not broken, it's uncontrollable, fierce, violent, reckless. and useless to no one. If it's not broken, it's useless to no one. It's just a powerful stallion that hasn't been broken yet. A trainer's job is to separate the horse from its negative destruction. Listen, it comes to a positive place that brings extreme value. You have to separate it. You have to separate a stallion from its negative place. You ever had to have people and you had to separate them from a negative place because you've seen a stallion in them. You've seen a powerful person in them, but you knew that there was going to be a time that you have to train that. When bringing them under submission, it brings meekness. Listen to this. The root word in the Greek for meekness is paros, which means a mighty wind that has subdued into a breeze, or the process of breaking a stallion. Meek in the Greek means to break a stallion. Ones that do not want to be broken can be highly gifted, but self-destructive. Have you ever been to a place that people are self-destructive because they do not want to surrender their lives? And you see stallions. You see people that are powerful, but they're not under control in their power. So in the Greek, meek means to break a stallion. Some of you don't even know you're a stallion. Some of you have been so broken in spirit that you don't even know that you are even a stallion. You are a great, mighty, powerful person. But some of you have been so broken that you don't even realize who you are anymore and what qualities you have anymore. I want to say this real quick, Brandon, because you hit something. To inherit means to have a right or a title to something. It's the gift of salvation. Blessed is the meek, for they will have the gift of salvation. They will inherit. They'll inherit the gift of salvation. And I wrote this, Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord formed the man out of the dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now I'm going to just read this. Blessed are the meek. This is my version from God. Blessed are the ones that are not self-willed, not concerned with their own ways, are willing to put themselves in second place to achieve what is good for somebody else. They inherit the rights, the title, the gift of salvation, which was created from the earth and formed from God. It's called a great harvest. When we become meek and humble, there brings salvation to somebody else, and we can inherit that salvation, a harvest to the earth.
It's funny because you just ended with that, but it says in my footnote here for meek, I love what it says, and I just highlighted this little part. It says, the meek are more concerned about God's work and God's people than about what might happen to them personally. The meek, rather than those who aggressively pursue their own ways, ultimately will inherit God's benefits. It's the point of just laying yourself to the side, knowing that God has your best interest at heart. He has your best interest at heart. But do you have his best interest at heart? Do you seek him out? He says, I am meek. Take my yoke upon you because I am meek and lowly. I am. And when you seek after God and you continue to follow after him, then you become more like him. You become more of who he is. It's back to that apprentice definition that we started out with the very beginning. You become more like the trade than you do than the world and the things that are around you. You become more like what God is doing the more you seek him out. If you want to be meek and lowly, seek the one who's meek and lowly. Learn after him, and then you lay your agenda aside and you pick up his agenda, and then that's when all the things that you've asked for become added unto you, seeking the kingdom of God.
I think in that moment you have to humble yourself. I mean, you literally have to start being aware of it. Like, listen, if you got a struggle, like, let's just be real. I'll put myself on blast real fast. Blast fast. Sometimes there's ignorant drivers out there. And sometimes people don't get it right at the drive-thru. And I have to learn in little things, like, come on, like, you know, like Dad says, son, the left-hand lane is for passing only. Stay in the right lane. I said, Dad, I'm driving. You're beside me. I can't take the steering wheel off and give it to you. But listen, when you go through, like, different weird things that are just, like, might feel like they push your buttons or something, you're like, come on. You have to learn to win these small battles. Don't try to do all this huge stuff. If there's these moments of, like, I'm not humble, I'm not meek, I in certain areas. Like, for instance, I guarantee it, because we're human. We all have the certain person that we know or associate with that just drive us buck wild. Is that true? Don't point if they're in the building. Don't be like, yes. But we have to learn to humble ourselves. You see what I'm saying? How would Christ treat that situation? So we have to learn in these moments that we have to take the small wins and say, wow. Like, for instance, one for me, back in the day, I used to be aggressive and frustrated when I played basketball. Very, very driven, very competitive. And when something went wrong, I was off. It threw me off. Like, not like because I couldn't play, like I wanted to, like, throw my elbow in somebody's throat. You know what I mean? Like, oh, the next play, you just got jawed. But there was times where, like, I had to learn for myself to have humility and humble myself. And people were like, why are you smiling? We lost the game. I'm like, look, I lost the game, but I won a spiritual battle. I didn't beat the dude up, and I didn't fight. I didn't go off. I didn't cuss. I didn't. You see what I'm saying? You have to learn to pick and choose and start winning at these battles. To have this meekness, this humility, you have to learn to start and be okay with achieving those. And say, man, God's really working on me. I could have went off, or I could have said, or I just spew at them. You ever met somebody that just runs their mouth? I mean, they just go off. You know what I mean? And maybe that's you, and you're like, you know what? I didn't say that this time. Wow, I'm really winning these little spiritual battles. And you have to learn to control it. But celebrate the wins. That's where we get wrong sometimes. We feel like we got to do this whole big thing. Start celebrating them. And I promise this, when you start putting together those little fragments, you got a beautiful picture laid right in front of you. And realizing that you're winning. God wants to humble you. He wants you to be meek. He has an inheritance for you. And so learn that in all these areas. We're up on the hill. We're on the mountain. And he speaks these truths when you're at the end of your rope. That's when you have more me. Blessed are the ones who mourn, for they'll be comforted. And he's like, blessed is the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And they're saying all this stuff, and people are trying to wrap their mind around it and what they're dealing with. And here we are right now doing the same thing. How do I wrap my mind around this? And I think it's those little things that we start to do. I mean, you know, when you're around somebody that's like that, that's humble and meek, and they're very kind and they're kind-hearted, you want to be around that. That encourages you. But listen, that's cool that you want to be around that, and that's awesome. But look in the mirror. Are you that way? So people can want to be around you. I mean, that's a hard truth, but it's the reality. Blessed are the meek. Go ahead.
Go to Matthew 5:5 and the Amplified. I love this. This is so good. Blessed, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect are the gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. I love this because blessed with inward peace means you know through this that you are spiritually secure. Having the peace inside of you is what helps you to see that you are secure in your walk with Christ. This is what helps you lay your head on the pillow at night and not have any worries. When you have peace in you because of your relationship with Jesus, this becomes your security blanket that causes you to live in the blessing of eternal security. I can lay my head on the pillow at night because I'm blessed. with inward peace and know that if I was to pass that night, I would pass on into my eternal security in heaven with Christ.
And that wouldn't be rest in peace because he passed. It's rest in peace because I'm living.
I rest in peace at night. People ask me all the time, how do you sleep so hard? Because I've got peace. Jesus taught me through his word that tomorrow will worry about itself. Why are we trying to worry about tomorrow when we just need to get through the day of what he's asked us to do today? We're so focused on the future that we miss the moment of the now. Jesus tried to teach us that. We just didn't listen. Gentle means free from harshness, sternness, or violence. The gentle, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, self-control. These are the attributes of what someone who is gentle walks in all the time. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit. This is a fruit. Gentleness is a fruit. Watch. The result of his presence within us is love, unselfishness, concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait. But no, we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I love this. It's so good. Faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Gentleness was never meant for a moment. It was meant for a lifetime. These fruits that I just read off to you were never meant just for your moment. They are meant to live in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You are a tree planted by living water that allows you to produce the fruit that you are to live in every single moment of every single day. You are not condoned by seasons. You're not controlled by them. The season of your life is the season of the kingdom, and the season of the kingdom always produces the fruit of the Spirit. So if you're controlled by seasons, then you are not living planted by the living water. It's powerful. Gentle. This is how the gentle inherit the earth. They live in the limitless fruit of the Spirit that causes them to show the world around them what Jesus is really like. This is tough. I'm going to get raw just for a minute, okay? Because through this process, I don't know about you, but God has dealt with me strongly in some things in my own personal life. Listen, if we can't be teachable by the Spirit, then what makes us think we have the right to teach others? Listen, it's hard to show the world what Jesus looks like when we don't act like him or bear his fruit. It's hard. Can I deal with you men just for a minute? Is that okay? This is heavy. So, so heavy. Men, we are called to be the heads of our house. And he has taught us to be leaders and examples of who Christ is. If this is the case, then why do we walk around yelling and screaming and trying to lead our homes by a dictatorship rather than the gentleness of the Spirit? It is hard to show your kids how to live a lifestyle of gentleness when you're walking around with a nasty attitude and spirit and talking down to your wife and to your kids. Listen, the Lord spoke to me and he said, Joshua, a lifestyle of gentleness must begin in the home. If I can't be gentle in my home, then where else can I be gentle? You ready for a tough one? Say, I'm ready. No, you're not. Maybe kids don't want anything to do with the church or Jesus because we have given them a bad taste in their mouth because we are offering rotten fruit rather than the fruit that brings peace and love. If you are gentle with people outside of your home but not the ones that live within your home, then you're a hypocrite. Listen. I've been wrecked all week studying this. Can I read that again? If you are gentle with the people outside of your home, but not the ones that live within your home, then you're a hypocrite. A hypocrite in the Bible is known as a pretender. It's really hard to pretend that you're gentle when there is a raging storm of anger and even hate going on inside of you. For me, I struggled with it for years to be gentle because of the way I was raised in my home. I was abused physically. I was abused verbally. And I was yelled at constantly because I never felt like I was doing anything right. And so as a father, I battled with that even for years. And let me just say this. Over the past 4 or 5 years, I've learned what it means to be gentle. I've understood that I can break the spirit of my children if I constantly yell at them and belittle them and tell them they're not good enough, if I'm not gentle with them in the spirit. See, the Father knows how to be gentle with you. He knows how to teach you how to live a right life. And so when we surrender to the Spirit of God and when we begin to live the fruit of the Spirit, blessed are those that are gentle, for they will inherit the earth. How do you inherit the earth when you're not gentle? When I become gentle in the spirit, I don't just inherit the earth, but God uses the gentleness on me to put the gentleness on my kids, and they become the ones that help inherit the earth. We are trying to raise up a generation that will inherit the earth, but we got to first teach them how to inherit it. We can't inherit the earth if we're nasty to people and nasty to the people in our home. It doesn't help you to walk around yelling at your kids all the time. The reason you have to yell is because you haven't disciplined them. Can I get wrong? I'm gonna talk just for a minute, okay? I've had to teach myself this parenting 101. I have had to teach myself that after I say it the first time, they better listen. Why do we tolerate telling them 10 times before we ever do anything? All we're doing to them is teaching them how to disobey. We're lying. I'm going to give you till 3. Why are you even giving them till 3? Here, I'm going to give you 3 seconds to continue to disobey, and then at the last second make the decision. It's almost like our salvation. Like God's up there counting 1, 2, 3, and then we go wait till the last minute to get saved. No, He wants us to be saved so that we can obey and so that we can inherit what He intended for us to inherit through the gentleness of the Spirit. Now listen.
Let me say something real quick. When they went up the mountain and they chose to go up to the mountain, they went to go be trained, okay? And so you've chose to go up to the mountain and get the disposition with God to be trained. You couldn't just do it and say, I'm going to be meek to my kids without you going up to the mountain with God and being trained by God and Him separating your negativity and separating your things, not breaking your spirit. And then He taught you that so you could come down as a father, not break your children's spirit so they could be trained.
Well, it's hard because has anybody ever worked for a boss that was not humble, not gentle? How hard is it to work for somebody like that? It almost breaks you and you're just so frustrated and you don't enjoy your job. But on the flip side of that, somebody that's gentle, humble, and you can work for, and you love it, and you know the atmosphere changes. We create that atmosphere in our homes. When you have a disruption in the home, you know the whole atmosphere changes. You know what I mean? Like when there's disruption in different things, it gets weird, and people feel like they're walking on eggshells and stuff like that. We have to stay humble.
Well, I don't think God ever called us to lead as a dictatorship. I think God called us to lead by example. Which means that I would never ask my kids to do anything that I first wouldn't do. Here, I need you to be gentle, but yet I'm going to scream and yell at you.
I think it has to do, though, like one of the biggest things that I think a lot of it has to do with is the ability to have self-control. Because meekness and self-control go hand in hand. When you have the ability to take a situation and not respond a certain way or handle things in a manner that God would be pleasing. And I'm not saying any of us are perfect or that you're going to be perfect or not mess up, but even self-control, when was the last time that maybe you went and showed self-control and apologized to your kids for maybe flying off the handle?
or anybody who you flew off the handle with or did something wrong with. You know what I'm saying? When was the last time that you stopped and said, I wasn't in self-control and I need to come under that and say, you know, I apologize because I didn't show those fruits that were taking place. And self-control is a big one, you know, because we like to look at everybody else to blame for the issues of why we respond certain ways or what we do. And that's when meekness really comes involved with self-control, because meekness is that humility to say, I was wrong. Not because they did that, or if this wouldn't have happened, or if that wouldn't have taken place, I wouldn't have done. No, I was wrong. I need to own up to my actions, and I need to be humble before God and say, God, number one, forgive me because I was not submissive. Help me to be teachable. Help me to be pliable by the things that you're doing. And God, then I want to come in and teach me to have self-control. Teach me to handle things in a way where I don't literally just fly off the handle or come back and, do what I want because I can, because I want to, and because I'm grown. You know what I'm saying? It's not about that. It's being able to literally just that teachable spirit of knowing that you can accept God's discipline when he comes in and he disciplines you. When he comes in to say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. Hey, you shouldn't have done that, you know, and you don't walk off and you're not like, you know, stone facing God or taking your shoulder. You know, you ever had, like, when you try to talk to your kid about something or anything, they're like, you know, pull back. Ooh, Jesus, help me. When things like that happen. But it's the point of, how many times do you do that to God? And get off me.
That shouldn't dictate you.
No.
That shouldn't be the thing that's going to dictate you.
No.
Just remember what the Greek word for meekness is: turning a storm to a breeze, no, and a stallion tamed.
Let's see, what I like about that is I was listening to John Kilpatrick. If you don't know who John Kilpatrick is, he was the pastor of the Brownsville Revival back in the 90s. He said something that convicted me so bad a couple years ago. He said, you know, he said, I watch people and how they discipline their kids. He said, I'm all for discipline, which I'm telling you right now, I'm all for discipline. But he said, when you out of frustration and out of a lack of gentleness and maybe out of anger, when you turn around and smack your kid in the face, you are literally killing their spirit. He said, I'm all about bending them over the bed, using a belt, whooping their butt. He said, I've done that to my kids. He said, but when you turn around and just haul off and smack them in the face, you are demeaning that kid. And I tell you what, I struggled with that because that's what I grew up in. I even did it to my own kids, but I haven't in probably 3 or 4 years because of listening to what he said. Listen to James chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him, by his good conduct, show his good deeds with the gentleness and humility of true wisdom. I think the gentleness and humility of true wisdom only comes through the Word of God and by the Spirit. I love what you said earlier about how the Word of God is our roadmap. See, I've heard a lot of parents say, well, kids didn't come with an instruction manual. I hate to burst your bubble, but they did. Train up your child in the way they should go, which means you got to train them in the Word of God. You want to be gentle? Stay in the Word. Stay in the presence. Stay in prayer. And He'll create that gentleness in you.
Guys, stand with me. We're going to get into some worship. And just, you know, the individual, it's all about the individual. I mean, honestly, we all have to look at that in ourselves. And decide, you know, what are we going to do with this? What areas of my life need to be kind of like an overhaul? One thing I can tell you is when you're, and this is where like this gentleness like thing happens, when you start to think, you know, if they would just not be in my life, I would have a better time. You know, if this person or this wasn't in my way, I would have better gentleness.
You can't pray to God to remove something that he's trying to develop inside of you. How else are you going to figure out how to be gentle unless you face something that's going to cause you to try to be gentle? So quit trying to pray against, like, man, God, I just pray you just... But sometimes, why don't you focus your prayers on just like, God, develop me in this. Whether it leaves or not, let me be gentle. Let me have self-control in this situation. Because what in the end, if it does go, you didn't learn anything. And we all the time, we try to do that so many times. We'll just move it out of my way. Just move it out of my way. How else are we going to learn? Like, no matter what the storm is, I'm going to stand still. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to have self-control. It's not going to dictate me. And listen, there might be times where it happens where you're just like right on the edge, or you're biting your lip and you're like, oh, Jesus. And you know what? You have to just reel it in and say, God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm going to be humble. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. So we're just going to lift him up for a few minutes before I pray and dismiss us. And just spend time with God. This place is open. There's room in here. And or wherever you are, and just have that moment. Am I truly gentle? Am I a meek person? Because listen, I can't change you. I can't change if you can be meek or not. There's not a certain button I can push. All I can do is give you the word of God. And that is the guide, like he said, that will help you in the path of being a gentle person. So you and God have that conversation. And you and God, when you're faced with it on the road or at the grocery store or with your own kids, and you got to control that and humble that and not go off the handle or anything else. Say, I'm a gentle person. I'm going to inherit the earth. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Let's worship the Lord.